you turn your Bibles to Psalms 19. Psalms 19. I want to make my appeal, as we do here and there, for the Word of God. I have been struck this last week again by the, what's the word? It's not futility, but the inefficiency, if you will, or the weakness of what it is that I do right here. How few times I get to speak to you, if it's 52 times a year, and I'm gone or you're gone. You know, I was just thinking through all that stuff in my head, and then how few times you actually get to talk about the Word, and how little is remembered, according to stats, of what's shared. And so that hits me and drives me to prayer and those kinds of things, but it really drives me to this value, which I want to share with you today. You remember the principle of, you know, if a guy's hungry, do you give him the fish or do you teach him how to fish? It's better to teach him how to fish so he can provide for himself. And so in that spirit, and the illustration doesn't go all the way, but I want to be a place that teaches you how to have a living relationship with the Word of God, that you're in the Word of God on a regular basis, being taught by the Holy Spirit, that you're availing yourself of teachers in the body of Christ. Hopefully we're one of those. And, you know, with the internet, there's so many sermons and things you can listen to. But again, I'm overwhelmed by the lack of, you know, how do you cover everything? I'm overwhelmed by how big a subject, you know, is the kingdom of God from Genesis to Revelation, how many things there are, how many chapters and verses, and there's all kinds of styles of preaching to try to help people along the way. But today I want you to know my mission is to do this, is to hopefully stir you to more hunger if you have it, to some hunger if you have none, to a living relationship with the Word of God and your own life of God in the Scriptures. In Psalms 19, we see David talking about his own personal love affair, if you will, his passion for the Scriptures or for the Word of God. It starts in verse 7 of chapter 19, the Psalms. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure." Love that. Get that in your heart. "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous." Verse 10. "They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward." As I come to you after 25 years of ministry, which happened for me in August, and I'm starting on the next 25, I've learned or I've observed in those years that the people who are most regular in the Word of God are people who have real, genuine appetite for the Word of God. The "I ought to read" doesn't endure through the warfare of the enemy or the laziness often of our flesh that happens. I don't know if you've noticed that. But that "you ought to read" can motivate you for a while, but it's not going to endure through the warfare that is really there to keep you from having a living relationship with the Scriptures. You've got to have more than "I ought to." You've got to be more than a slave. I think that's slave thinking. My duty is to read the Bible, and I've got to do it. And then you do it for a while, then you don't do it, and then the enemy starts talking to you about what a rascal you are and how lazy you are, and are you even saved? You never read your Bible. I don't know if you're hearing this voice, but it's not only the Holy Spirit who talks about the Scriptures to us. The enemy twists them. We see that in the Bible with Jesus. The enemy talks about the Scripture. He talks about our lack of life in the Scripture to us and leverages shame and leverages guilt that drives us further and further away from the Scripture. I'm concerned about that. I really am. And the only people I've really seen endure and have a regular life in the Scriptures are people who walk out or at some measure experiencing verse 10, where David, a king who is rich beyond belief, who has got access to the sweetest things on the planet, says with, I believe, no exaggeration about the Word of God, it's more precious than gold to me. It's of much more value than pure gold. It's sweeter than honey. And again, that's a day where there's no candy bars. There's no Snickers or Hershey's. This is a day where honey is the sweetest thing on the planet to the palate of man. And what David says here is, in my experience, in my real appetite in my heart, I value more than all the gold of the kingdom the words that proceed from the mouth of my God. Not because I'm religious, but because my heart really, really thinks it's worth more than all the gold on the planet. I wonder where your heart is with the value of the Word of God today. And it's important to be honest about that. He says this, I believe that the Word of God and the Scriptures are sweeter than honey, than the best honey I've ever had. It's a delicious thing to my heart. I not only value it as worth, but I savor it as pleasure. Listen, I not only value the worth of the Word of God, I savor the pleasure of the Word of God. Listen, this can be your experience. At some measure and some level, and I'm going to try to describe it in my life and try to equip you today, but and I don't want you to try to mimic it. The only reason I share personal stuff is that I want to be a chunk of salt that stirs you up. I've told this story before, but my grandpa, with a fifth grade education, who lived through the Depression, was a farmer, you know, and he had a Bible by his, in the bathroom that he read every morning, and I'd open it up, and there were little check marks by the chapters, and something happened in me at 8 and 9 years old that stirred up a hunger for the Scriptures, and it was a King James Bible I didn't hardly understand, you know, with the these and the thous, but something happened in me. This man I respect that's a hard worker takes time every day and puts that word into him, and it kind of stirred up some desire in my heart. So the only reason I would share testimony or personal stories is so that I could do the same for you. I pray God uses me to help stir that up in you. My heart today is that you would pray and you would set your heart to pray that the Lord would transform your sense of value on the Scriptures and your sense of experience of the sweetness and the pleasure of Scriptures. I don't think I got to talk to anybody in this room about how you think you ought to read the Word ought to be good to you, it would be of value if you'd read the Bible more. I'm hearing that from people all the time, but it doesn't motivate people to really have a living experience with the Scriptures. I think you got to get verse 10 going. I think you got to have a transformation at the appetite level, and the Spirit of God wants to do that very thing. Here's why I love the Word. I want to just tell you, and I want to boast in it and brag in it, why I love the Bible so much. I brought one of my Bibles that I'd wore out. I don't know if you can see it's broken a little bit, and I switched, and actually it's NIV, and I'm ESV now, but I've got a stack of Bibles that I've marked up and done so much mess on them, and the binding comes loose, and then I'll switch, and I just admit I have an addiction to buying new Bibles. I love to buy them. I love to sniff them. I love to go through them and remark them up. It's just a problem. It really is. Amy's been making fun of me forever. It's like, I don't know, I can't stop myself. But anyway, why I love the Bible is, number one, it is the truest and most faithful testimony to the reality of who God is, to who the Father is, who the Son is, and who the Spirit is. This book from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus. It's about the greatest person on planet Earth. You write a book about Lincoln because he was so popular and people rush to buy that book. But this book in detail tells me about Jesus being the second person in the deity, that he has a unique relationship with the Father God and the Spirit, and he created the worlds. There's testimony of him all the way through, prophecies, and then I get to see his life and what he did from faithful firsthand witnesses. I love the Bible because it talks about the one whom my heart loves. It's the best source on the planet. Guys can write books all they want about Jesus, but I'm telling you, we've got the best book on the planet about our God, our supernatural living God and his son Jesus. It's just awesome. I love it because of that. I love the Bible because it's a supernatural book that keeps living inside me and affecting me. Some of those things here David's talking about. In verse 7, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving my soul. Not just it's perfect, the word's perfect, but it does an impact on my soul. It revives me, which means makes that's dead alive inside me. I felt that 1,000 times as I exposed myself to the living Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. They make wise the simple, the simple-minded. I wouldn't have true reality and wisdom without the Scriptures. The precepts of the Lord are right and give joy to the heart. In a planet racked with fear right now about disease and terrorists and all that, I'm telling you, there is a source of joy. The Word of God supplies that and produces that in your heart. It's an awesome thing. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. It says down at 11, by them, by these words, your servant is warned. My best warnings about reality are in the Word of God. They really are. They tell me, they warn me about going to sleep in this age, living this life for money, living it for pleasure. The Bible warns me about what's death and what's life. And so I love it. I love it that it's Hebrews 4:12, active and living. And it interacts with my heart. And I've quoted this before. It's one of my favorite quotes. But Napoleon, that great French dictator, said, the Bible is no mere book. It's a living creature that conquers everyone that encounters it. I love that from a guy who was a world conqueror. And it's true. You interact with this book. It's different than any other novel. It's a living book that produces inside you. I promise you, if you read the Word of God with a surrendered, open heart by faith, dynamic things begin to happen inside you. You don't have to make the dynamic things happen. This word is a bag of seed, if you will. Dynamic heavenly seed. And when you implant it into a heart that's open, supernatural things happen. And I like it when supernatural things happen to me and transformation happens. I like this book because it's full of prophecy. Number three, I love it. I love it. I've got a prophetic book. I've got a book where 300 plus prophecies have 100% been accurately fulfilled. In Jesus alone, with the 300, multiple about nations and cities and other people's lives where I watch it fulfill and even can be proved extra-biblically, historically, what was prophesied here. And I've only seen the beginning. There's twice as many prophecies still to be fulfilled. I'm reading the future, dynamic prophetic words that are trustworthy, and I just like that. Does anybody like prophecy? Isn't it great? Prophetic words fulfilled, prophetic words that are going to be fulfilled. I'm reading the future, knowing what's going to happen, while the whole earth languishes in darkness and confusion. I'm getting ready for the coming fulfillment of prophecies, whether that's the darkness of the enemy or the coming of my king that will break into this age. I love, love, love the Word of God. I love it because it's about Jesus. I love it because it supernaturally affects my heart. I love it because of supernatural prophecies that are happening. And I love it because it supplies me with spiritual kingdom thought and language. I love that I've got the thoughts of God written down in a book. I love it to pray the scriptures. And if you're not doing this, I so want to recommend again, pray from your heart, be authentic, be real, yes. But I'm telling you, there's something that happens when you take a Bible verse written by the Holy Spirit, get it into your heart, get it in your mouth, and begin to pray the Word of God personally to the Lord. I'm telling you, something happens in the spirit realm. There's this partnership and this witness that goes on. I don't know if anybody's done that before. I hope you have, and you won't get bored with taking the Word of God and speaking it back to God. Taking the Word of God and speaking it to one another. And I'm telling you, there's like a dynamic, effective work of the Holy Spirit that happens in our life. I love the Bible. It teaches me how to think. It teaches me how to talk. It gives me interaction with the living God. It does supernatural things in my heart. I love, love, love the scriptures. I pray you do. And let me say this. I just want to make it clear. I don't love the Bible because it gives me a job. I love the Bible, and out of that, it's kind of turned into a job. You know? And I know that I'm a teacher, and that I may have a predilection towards study and reading more than you mercy people, or you prophetic people, or you encouragement. But listen, I don't buy into this thing. I can't read the Bible. I get bored. It's confusing to me. I fall asleep. Listen, you don't need to stop reading the Bible and discern from that's reality. You need to rebuke something. I really think so. You need to say, the enemy is contending against you having a living relationship with the scriptures. Jesus himself, when battling the devil in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, quotes the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. How many of you have been there this week? Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe, yeah, perfect. The book of Deuteronomy takes verses out of chapter 8 and chapter 6 and drives them into the heart of the enemy and drives him away. I'm telling you, the Bible is so powerful. It's so effective for life in the spirit and for being a believer that's effective and fruitful in the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you again today that your heart, would you pray, Lord, give me an appetite for the scriptures. I'm 37 years into being a believer. That's how long. I'm 47, is that right? Yeah, and I was 10. I'm 37 years in, and literally, by the grace of God, almost unbroken every day I've been in the Scriptures. And I'm telling you this, no one was on my back about it. Nobody, I didn't feel like I would make, you know, God love me more. In fact, why don't you help me? Say true or false to this. If I read my Bible more, I become more righteous. True or false? False. If I read my Bible more, God loves me more. True or false? That's right. You're loved by the righteousness of Jesus, okay? You're accepted by Him. You won't get any more righteous. But what this book does is it unveils for me the glory of what I have already. And I love the Word. So, give me a moment. Practical. How do I read my Bible? I know that you may go, "Oh, that's easy." But it's not easy for everybody. I think people get confused about how to read their Bible. I just want to tell you what I do. Number one, I always defer my heart to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't every day go, "Where do you want me to read?" Though I do sometimes. But I'll defer my heart to the leading of the Spirit. Some days it's just like, I can't read anywhere but Hebrews. I got to be in the book of John. I got to read the Psalms and that's it. And I can feel the leading inside my heart. I go with that leading because the Holy Spirit is the teacher in the Scripture. But more often than that has been this practical reality of eating the buffet, as I've talked about before. I love to get a chapter of the Old Testament, a chapter in Psalm, and a chapter in the New Testament. I default to there, and as I'm reading, if I don't have a specific leading, some of them have the read through the Bible in a year, some of you have got different plans, any of those will be fine, but I'll do that, and as I'm reading, I'm panning for gold. I'm looking for verses with the heat in them. I've read multiple of these books, literally hundreds of times, and I'll go through, you know how it is, I'm reading Deuteronomy 8, and that one phrase stands out to me. I'm going to talk to you about John 20. I've read John 20, I don't know how many times, and one phrase stuck out to me that I'm going to share with you in just a moment in the next little section. But that's what I'm doing. I'm just exposing my heart with a general conviction that I want to read this word and get it inside me. Sometimes He specifically leads me, but generally, I love to have a bit of a buffet in it. I so encourage you to develop a history in the Lord. Secondly, I work on praying the word. I work on making the word personal. I don't just read it and go, "Oh, that's great knowledge." I make it personal in dialogue with the Lord, whether it's me asking questions or it's me praying it, which has been real effective. Taking the Bible, and I'll walk with it sometimes, or you can sit, it doesn't matter, and really, literally, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord's upon me that I might, you know, set the captives free, to give sight to the blind. And I'll just start turning that into, "Lord, release that kind of anointing among us. Put that on me that I could let people, I could help people see you more. I pray that I could set captives free." And when I start to make that word personal, something happens inside me. It's a wild thing. I got so many Bible verses inside me. And if you pray with me, I love praying what's in my heart, and there's things in my heart, but there's so much of the word. I love to pray promises because it has so much power on it. So I personally, you know, inject it into my relationship with God. And then thirdly, I will make an effort to meditate it and memorize it. Now, that actually comes easy when I read with my heart on a regular basis. I internalize it by praying and having relationship, but then I make an effort to, "Ooh, I like that phrase. I've got a short memory. I'll say the phrase over and over." Meditate means to revolve in your mind. To turn it and look at it, to turn it and look at it, to get up under it and to meditate on the thing. And then obviously memorizing helps you get that thing stored in your heart. It's a powerful deal. It really is. When you start to take that word in it and makes it personal, those three things really make up my life in the word. You may have a different way. That's fine. Okay? But I want to encourage you, if your whole life, and praise God for teachers, but if your whole life is just reading other people talk about the Bible, I just want you to know you don't have to secondhand get the meal. You can firsthand go and read the Bible yourself. 1 John chapter 2 says that we don't need anyone to teach us. The anointing within us will teach us. I tell you, the greatest teacher on planet Earth, the Holy Spirit, is waiting to meet you as you come to the Word of God and begin to internalize it and work in it and develop it, and it will grow. This is a dynamic growing word. So, that's my spiel. Read your Bibles and have fun and enjoy and be disciplined and go for it and take your time and meditate. Get a higher value for what it is and what it's talking about, and pray that the Lord would transition the appetites of your heart. You're all going to eat what you're hungry for. That's why we eat tons of other things. And I want to tell you, I'm for the Royals. I like the Royals. I'm rooting for them to win the World Series. Anyone else? No? Yeah, listen. And I like to eat. I do. I like food. It's just great. I like actually to go on walks with my family and to go out and just, what I'm trying to say to you is, I'm not trying to say everybody just read your Bible all day long and that's all you do. But I'm saying, as you go along your life, ingest the word. Put the scriptures into your life. You can enjoy other things, but pray that the Lord would make the value of the scriptures and the experience of the scriptures the number one thing in your heart. That he would cause it to be supreme. That you would love your Bible more than you love the Royals. That you would love your Bible more than you love Pop-Tarts. That you would love the Bible more than you love entertainment. It's possible. It really is. To where then you can do entertainment in those things, but you do it under the government of the Word and what he's doing in your life. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm not trying to ask everybody to not live life, but I do want you to pray about these things. May the Lord make the Word of more value than gold. May he make it sweeter than honey to us. And I want to pray really quick for you. I'm going to lead us into ministry time. But listen, Jesus took me and took all of you that are believers in Jesus. We did not know him. We even may have hated him. We resisted him. And he turned us into sons and daughters of the living God who love him. He took wicked, dark hearts and by his mercy came and drew us and caused us to care about the kingdom of God. I say that to say this. He can take your ambivalent heart about the Bible and transform it into being a Bible lover. He really can. But he's going to need you to be honest. You need to say, I'm bored with the book. I don't get it. I kind of hear what Sam's saying, like a guy in a far distance in this voice that's kind of saying, but I need a real divine work on my heart that I might value these scriptures, that I might love them and be driven to them. Let me tell you, it's awesome when you're not having to live as a slave and go, oh my God, I got to read my Bible again. Oh my gosh, I got to, that's a terrible way to live. You do not have to live that way. It's wonderful when you actually hunger the scriptures. So I would like, if you don't mind, and you can stand, grabbing a Bible or your phone with the Bible on it, Tyler, Norris, would you all please stand up? Holding Bibles or holding your phone or standing near someone who's got a Bible. I understand if you don't have a Bible. I got the scriptures up here. You can come up and hold the screen if you want. I want to ask the Lord to do something in our hearts, to cause us to love the scripture, to revive our hearts. What do you say? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to make us a community of the Word of God. I'm longing for a community, a spiritual community, that isn't just waiting on someone to teach them on a Sunday or looking up the latest sermon on the internet, but you're really having a life in the Word. All different paces, all different graces, but all of us being people who have a living relationship with the Word of God. If you long for that, pray with me here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, as we stand before you as a spiritual family, holding the Word of God, we hold it in our hands, we're asking that you cause us to desire it with our hearts. Lord, I'm praying for a miracle right now. Would you recalibrate our hearts about value? If we value money or entertainment or boyfriends or girlfriends or houses more than the Word, do a miracle in us. We're confessing that's not right. It's not good. It's not even satisfying. Would you do what in our heart what you did in David's heart? By a work of grace, cause us to value the Word of God more than money at all. I pray that, Lord, you would do a work in our heart that would cause us to know the sweetness of the scriptures. Sweeter than honey. Sweeter than candy bars. Sweeter than the best things on planet Earth. May there actually be pleasure in our hearts about the Word of God. Lord, we hold the Word now. And really, I'm asking for this. All through this crowd, would you do a miracle? Stir something in like a chunk of salt that causes us to be thirsty and hungry for the scriptures. We may think about it and talk about it different than Sam or Joanne or someone else, but
but may we have our own journey and our own desires that drive us to the Scriptures. Everybody with me, if you're serious about this, just, Lord, we put our hearts up before you. Put our hearts up on the rack, if you will. Do an operation. And Lord, we pray, shift our desires. Awaken in us what's dead. Cause us to value what's the most valuable. Lord, let us not be satisfied with junk food all of our lives. May we go for the meat, go for the milk. Now, I'm gonna be silent for a minute. Would you personally, in your own heart, say what you want to say about that to the Father? Hear the prayers of your people. Hear the cries of your people. Bring a revival in the Word of God among us as a spiritual family. Transform our hearts. I pray the person that cares the least in this room about the Scriptures, that you wouldn't cause them to be the most enthralled with the Scriptures. I pray you do resurrection power. Resurrect passion for the Word. Desire for the book of Psalms. It would become alive to us. The Gospels, the glorious Gospels, the words in red. May we just savor them, the words out of Jesus' mouth. I pray for delight in our hearts. And Lord, be the teacher, the primary teacher, 7 days a week for your people. Take us deep in the Word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you.